more.
And I have found, like, if I am in the mood, I do it right then. I would sometimes, if I know, I catch myself like, ooh, later, like, I like you right now. And by the time later comes, a lot of times I am tired. So now it's like, no.
You have the best of intentions. Yeah.
Welcome to Mom Life Community, where we are mothers uplifting mothers. We hope to bring you a bit of encouragement today on your journey. Today's topic might not be for little ears, so now might be a good time to pop an earbud in if you wish, if you're with your littles, because today we are talking about cultivating a healthy sex life in marriage. We understand that not everyone listening is married, but whether you're currently married or you plan to be married, this episode is for you. I'm your co-host, Heather Houlet.
And I'm Helen Smallbone. God thought of sex. Mm-hmm. It was in the beginning when God created male and female that sex was part of the created order, mm-hmm. when he gave the instruction to be fruitful and multiply. However, sex isn't meant solely for procreation. It's meant to be a joyful, intimate experience between husband and wife. Genesis 2:24 reads, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." It's a vital part of a marriage.
Yes, so true. And so important to make sex a priority. I always say do it as much as possible. This might sound funny or a little over the top or pretentious, but it's true, you know? We always say shoot for 7 days, you'll get four, you know? Like you know,
I don't think I ever shot for 7 days, you know, FYI.
Well, you know, shoot for four, you'll get three or two, you know? Like always make it a priority as if it's just part of eating, drinking, and going, taking a shower. Like that's something we just early on were like, this is part of our life. We do that. And sometimes we don't get to it. Sometimes we don't get to taking a shower, right? But it's part of our making it a priority. Your husband and your relationship with him should be top priority. With love, trust, and understanding come intimacy and sex. This extremely intimate act not only gives you and your partner intense pleasure, but it also helps you sleep well. It helps relieve stress and release happy endorphins within the body. When we were young, starting out, we had a baby, you know, we co-slept. And people would always ask, well, how do you have sex if you're co-sleeping? And we had a bassinet on wheels and we rolled the bassinet into the hallway and then we rolled it back in, you know? But there's ways to make it work to where there's just like no excuses. And as kids come, as we get busy, as we get tired, the reality is it does get a little less and less when life gets busy and things happen. But the more often that you do make it a priority and the more often that you do it, it is so important, especially as time goes on, because that's when it's easier to not make it a priority. But it prevents stress and anxiety in the marriage. And when you do have sex, it translates to less tension all around in the family.
It definitely creates deep bonds between husband and wife. And I've only just recently learned, call me naive, but I've only just recently learned some of the biological facts that happens with having sex. And it is a part of God's brilliance. Mm-hmm. When a woman is touched, kissed, and hugged, it produces the release of oxytocin, which is a hormone that's also released in breastfeeding. And this creates a strong bond. And it helps fight against depressive feelings and helps in resolution of conflict. I just think that's so great that we've got something that's happening physically in
us. So good.
That reconnects us to our spouse.
And call me naive, but I didn't know that that was released in breastfeeding. So there we go.
Well, I did know in breastfeeding.
And I didn't.
And then there's also for a man, there's a hormone vasopressin that is released. Mm. And this helps him commit to his wife and he drives him to provide and lead and nurture his family. So there are really even physically just in us multi-benefits that actually link us together as husband and wife.
Love that. You know, Helen, I pulled my husband for some of this lesson today to just kind of get insight from him.
I didn't.
To get insight from him, you know, from a guy's point of view. And he shared that, you know, just knowing that you want to do it is everything, you know, and the importance of like, we have a catchphrase. I'm not going to share it here, but we have something that we'll say to each other, like, you know, in a text or talking that, just lets him know, whether it's a text or before he leaves in the morning or whatever, that lets him know, like, hey, I want you tonight, you know, that makes him feel good. So it's something he can look forward to all day.
And all of us give and receive love differently. And frankly, I'm not really a very touchy-feely person, and physical touch is not one of my love languages. However, physical touch has always been important to my husband's comforting and affirming to him. It's a bit sad to say, but when the children were young, my touch bag was full by then, by the time my husband had come home from work. And so he'd often feel pretty neglected. And frankly, sometimes I felt a little bit caught between a rock and a hard place, because I'd be like, okay, this is important to him, so I'm just going to go along with it.
Yeah.
And then he would end up being like, you're not into this. And then just not be interested anymore. And then I'd still feel it, but then he would still feel a little neglected. So it was a bit stressful, I suppose. But we've been married 46 years and very happily married. So we did work it out somewhere along the way.
I love that. And you know, for most men, it's just the act. Like, as far as like, they don't need a romantic dinner, expensive night out to prepare them. A lot of women say they need that, you know? And so just the importance of that. Women, I think, probably need more foreplay than men need. They just want to be with you. They are not about all the extra frills and stuff. And sometimes you may not feel like it, but you'll be happy that you did in the end. Even if you feel tired or you feel like Helen said, you know, you've had a long day with the kids, but just, you know, being there for him and doing that without the night out or without coming home from date night, it can be such a gift for both you and your husband. And a woman denies their spouse sex, it really creates a wall of tension in your marriage that will only get worse and not better. And, you know, the husband in 1 Corinthians 7:3-4, I love this verse because it says the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, check this out, moms, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So this is a mutual thing that we give to each other as a gift. And I just love that the word backs that up.
Mm. And the Bible also says that after the fall, when sin entered the world, sex was affected as well. And the sexual distortions we see around us that have become part of our society are a result of the fall. Past sexual hurts that you might have experienced yourself can be brought into a marriage. Men can view women as an object and sex as just a physical act. Mm-hmm. And women may have suffered sexual abuse. In some of these cases, you might need counseling to address some of the hurts and misconceptions. But even when you don't understand God's true concept for sex, it is still more than just a physical act, as it involves spiritual union. And when you have sex, you give part of your heart. People who are very sexually active outside of marriage are often very lonely and empty.
So true. Good point, Helen. And you know, in our contemporary culture, Christianity is generally portrayed as sexually oppressive, repressive sometimes in the extreme. Christians are known to generally absorb the lies of the culture, but God can bring us newness. And you know, I know growing up in a Christian home, it was always the assumption that sex was bad, sex was bad, sex was bad. Sex in itself is not bad. And nothing could be farther from the truth. But in the proper context that God created it, it's one of the most beautiful gifts that God has given us. And I work with a lot of women in recovery. And one of the biggest things of girls who grew up in the church is their mindset that sex is dirty, sex is shameful, and they bring this into their marriage and it's really hard for them to get past. And sex, it's not talked about enough in a positive light, and that can be very damaging. So I want to encourage you to have those honest conversations with your daughters about and your sons about when and how God intended it without shame and how beautiful it is. Instead of just don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. It's bad. It's dirty. Because it isn't bad and dirty in the proper context. In Genesis 2:25, the Bible says the first husband and first wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
And I want to encourage you to take care of your appearance. You know what your husband loves about you and what he appreciates. Remember to get yourselves tidied up and have a good attitude when he comes home. I think that's really important. And also be happy to see him. Sometimes I think when he walks through the door, you just want to throw the children at him, but it's good for him to know how much you do love him.
Mm-hmm.
Often having a healthy sex life and a healthy marriage is the sum of all these little things. I also want to encourage you to not be afraid to be spontaneous and adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
When my husband traveled a lot and the kids were being minded, it wasn't uncommon for us to go when I would go out to the airport to pick him up, that he was so keen to see me, and he knew there was a bunch of kids at home that we'd stop at a motel for a romantic rendezvous on the way home. And as weird as it might sound, his enthusiasm actually made me feel very wanted and loved. Adventures and being a bit spontaneous is good.
Yeah, I love that. Outside of pleasures, there are many reasons why sex is good for your body, your brain, your relationship, and the benefits it has on both emotional and physical. A 2017 study published in the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin showed that there's a connection between frequent sexual activity and the overall well-being of a person. And, you know, I shared about in Genesis, you know, what it talked about shame. And, you know, likewise in the New Testament, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all and let the marriage bed be undefiled. So sex between a husband and wife is never a cause for shame. So be reminded of that, moms. It should be honored, cherished, and enjoyed as a gift and the good that it is. In fact, it's well known that long-term married partners have the best sex.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Communication with your husband is also very important. Talking about sex, it might be a little awkward, but it's very necessary. Mm-hmm. You need to talk about your expectations, your different needs and approaches to sex. And remember that no approach is really wrong, as long as you both agree and that you are not being forced to do something you're uncomfortable with.
Mm, so true. Communicating about intimacy is essential. It's important to talk to your partner if your sexual desires are changing. You know, you can just say things like, hey, I've noticed you haven't wanted to have sex lately. Can we talk about it? Or we're not having sex as often as we used to, and I'd like to change that. How do you feel about that? Often it can be a simple misunderstanding or miscommunication. My husband and I went through that. It was a short season. It was a very short period. I don't even know if I'd call it a season. But where I thought he was thinking something, he thought I was thinking something. And it was like, we just needed to talk about it. Like, you know, I always thought he was tired for a while. He thought I was tired, you know, and just having that open communication is huge.
And experts say you usually have sex more frequently in the beginning of your relationship when you're younger, more active. But over time and with the pressures of age and work and children, you can't make it work quite as much as what you did when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, you know, be satisfied with where life's at. Most studies show that happy couples have sex about once a week. But it is important to keep a fair regular nature for it and not to deprive one another. Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 7:5. That don't deprive one another of sex, except when it might be for a limited time. But if you don't, if you stop for longer than that, then it can lead to outside temptations.
Mm-hmm. And when you say like, except for a limited time, and that's basically like if you're devoting yourself to prayer, fasting, right? That's what you're talking about there. Yeah. I love that. And the Bible says that frequent marital intercourse is prescribed as a guard against a wandering eye and a lustful heart. The assumption is that if we drink deeply from our own cisterns, we will be less tempted to draw from our neighbor's well. And that's in Proverbs 5:15. There is great wisdom and great joy in following these inspired instructions from the Bible.
Ladies, the ones that are here with us for discussion time, I know that this can be a little bit of an uncomfortable subject for all of us, but I do think it's also necessary to some of these uncomfortable subjects to get them out in the open and to actually talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some questions and I'd like you to consider and just compare what we've heard from here and what added things you might have to say. We mentioned in that opening talk that good communication is marriage is vital. How do you communicate your own sexual needs to your husband? We know it's not necessarily easy, but have you had success in being able to do that?
I think for us, we went through a hard time, probably about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not something I wanted to do. Sex was not, you know, I was frustrated. I was unhappy. And so
it's incredible how often when you're at odd ends with your husband, mm-hmm. sex diminishes. Yeah. That's a significant sign to me mm-hmm. that things aren't where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's what God intended.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that when we started going to marriage counseling, if anyone ever is in that situation, I strongly encourage a strong Christian marriage counselor. But that one thing he was saying was that the reason I was withholding that or that I was not interested in that was because I wasn't feeling loved. So it came back to communicating mm-hmm. with each other on, mm-hmm. you know, I need that physical, like I need a hug goodbye. I need a kiss goodbye. Mm-hmm. I need, like, that's what makes me feel loved. And then if I feel that love, then I want to reciprocate that by
loving back.
Being intimate mm-hmm. with my husband. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of the communication for me, like personally being vulnerable, like sex is not my thing. Like I don't crave it like my husband does. Like, yeah. It's not something that, I mean, I enjoy it. And of course, afterwards, I'm glad I did it, but yeah. I'm always tired, you
yeah.
know? And,
yeah.
but it's true. Like, once I see he's making the effort to kiss me goodbye in the mornings, or he's making the effort to, you know, compliment me, then I want to make sure he is having his needs mm-hmm. met as well. So I think for me, communication goes back to more than just the sex part of it. It's more about feeling connected and feeling loved by my spouse. Then I want to be more intimate with him mm-hmm. in that way.
I think, yeah. Lauren, what you've expressed there is probably the majority of women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read somewhere that we need to feel affirmed and loved. And whatever that mm-hmm. might look like, for some of us, it may even be a husband being thoughtful. They say sex starts in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and men don't understand those little things actually mean a lot to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of women would agree with you on mm-hmm. that revelation that you had. Mm-hmm. And how good of you two guys to go to counseling
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and get some advice.
Yeah. God saved our marriage. So mm-hmm. it was amazing.
It's awesome. Wonderful.
And then it's cyclical, because then when you're doing that and you're engaging in more regular sex, then it naturally helps all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when any little piece of that is broken.
Yeah.
So my husband would like more spontaneity from me.
Yeah.
More like.
Which I found hard.
This is the heart. Me too. Me too. And with Leah, with kids.
I'm like, dude, no. And he's like, send the kids to their rooms. I'm like, you're kidding me. And then,
you know. Like now?
Yeah. Like now? Yes. Just go to
them. Because I think every man
often he won.
That.
Often he won. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh gosh, definitely not coming from me.
Yeah. No, Matt, my husband's the same way. He would like more spontaneity, and he's very open and communicative with me in that way. And one time he said something to me and it really hit me hard, because he said there were times where, you know, he would ask for sex. Hey, do you want to have sex tonight? Or hey, after the kids go to bed, or maybe this afternoon or whatever. Well, then there came a window where I noticed he wasn't asking as much. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him about that. And because my drive is lower than his, and I would be okay going longer than him. Mm-hmm. But, and so then he said, well, I just kind of stopped asking because I was tired of being told no or not right now.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And so then you realize, okay, because when we have sex, it's beautiful. I love it. My drive's not that high. And then when we have it, I'm like, why do I not want this mm-hmm. every day?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's just getting there, mm-hmm. getting in that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
Foreplay is important for me. It's not every time we're going to have that. But I do love that. I love mm-hmm. a good back massage first, and it just helps relax me. But I feel like you're right. And I noticed that. So when that's happening, then I realize, okay, like he knows, like he would be up for having sex every day, multiple times a day, even if he's sick. I mean, there have been times where he was sick and he's still fine. So I feel like, okay, then when he was stopping to ask, it just made me realize, okay, that was not right of me. Like, it's okay to, of course, there's times where I was like, sweetheart, I'm really tired. He's very understanding of that. But I think it's important to plan for it. I think it should be spontaneous. But I also think that planning and carving out time for it, just like we do with other things in our daily schedules and lives, is also important. And then it kind of gives him something to look forward to, too. Like when you were saying, Heather, like if you're texting the little code word or whatever you do, sometimes he'll say, I'm putting every day. Nice girl.
I'm saying plan for, no. I'm saying plan for every day.
Yes.
Because the chances are you're not.
It's not going to always happen.
It's not going to happen every day. But if every day you shoot for that, you might get half.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good. Or you might get every day. You know, like seasons. We go through seasons.
My husband's like, I'm putting the marble in the jar. That's kind of what he'll say. So then it's not like every single time he read that somewhere. So it's not like he's always having to ask. But I'm mindful of that. Okay, like he's and he's really wanting sex soon. And it is true how it does change their whole like countenance and their demeanor and
confidence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They feel just respected. There's so many different levels of what it does. And so, yes. And it is a beautiful thing when it's in a God honoring.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, holy moment. And so, yeah, I need to be aware of that. Like, even though I'm tired, I never regret having
it. I'd agree with you.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When I was married, it was hard for me to express my sexual needs, my likes and my dislikes, because I didn't want to hurt his feelings or reduce his confidence. So I think it's important, though, to have those conversations because you do want to look forward to it and you're not going to plan if it's something that you're not going to enjoy, you know? So like telling him, you know, this is what I enjoy, this is what I don't enjoy, I find is important, but those are, for me, hard conversations.
I think they're hard conversations for everybody,
which
is really weird in a way. I mean, this is your best friend. I mean, this is the person you do life with. And this is just one aspect of your marriage. Why would it be so awkward?
Yeah.
It's not like in our relationship, it's easy for my husband to talk about it. And in actual fact, I don't think he's ever probably openly communicated, even when he's been really disappointed. It's always me sort of going, so what's the deal, you know?
I think that's it. You don't want to, like, them to feel disappointed. Like, oh, I thought I was doing something, and I guess I wasn't, you know? And so you don't want to kill, you know, that for me, being with my personality type, that was extremely hard, too.
You raised a really interesting point, Nina, that you don't want to hurt his feelings. It is a very vulnerable scenario where you've got to be very careful the words you use and how you address even what you sort of maybe don't like, because it, I think it is, has a lot to do with a guy's manliness. And if you are too rejecting or you're too confrontational, I do think it really does deeply hurt them.
It's like a culture thing too. Like the culture sets it up that guys are this like sex hungry, like crazy animals, and women don't really want that sort of thing so much. And that like they, the guys just are supposed to know what they're supposed to do. I mean, there's a lot of talking that needs to happen. And I mean, and not every situation is like that. I mean, there's a lot of marriages where the woman actually has a higher sex drive and that's not talked about a lot. And I think it's important that, you know, people understand that whatever culture sets up is not, it's not the norm.
Culture is often what shapes our conceptions of what sex should look like. And I think it's very vastly different from the way that God planned it.
Yes, absolutely.
I know love language is thrown around a lot, you know, but it's so important. Not several years ago, like you, Lauren, my husband and I went through marriage counseling as well because I worked full time. He worked full time, but his job required him to travel a lot. And so he was gone, wouldn't come home till like Friday nights. And the, I always felt so like, oh, like I'm exhausted. You know, I'm working full time, coming home to the kids and getting them ready. He's not doing anything. So I started to build up this bitterness. And so I would almost take sex as like, no, like you haven't given me anything. Like I became selfish. You know, I became very selfish and withheld that from him. And I'm so glad that we got into Christian counseling because it helped me open my eyes to the different love languages. Even then, I mean, I know we've talked about it into the children, but it's so important in a marriage to really understand your husband. And my husband, too, he's a very touchy person. Like, he could do it any day and, you know, whatever, every time. And I like quality time. And so when he would come home from being away all the time, I just wanted time with him. And he was just ready to go for it, you know? And it was so good for us to have that communication from someone listening to us and telling us, here's what's going on. So we learned each other's languages in order for us to help each other out.
And did it impact both of you? Like he learned how to give you more what your needs were?
Yes. Yes. So we have over the years, we have tried to commit one day a week to each other, whether that's like a date night going out or just at home, just spending time together. You know, he knows I love to go out and have coffee or, you know, watch TV or whatever, you know, just having that
time together really helped both of us.
That's great. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that actually satisfies that romantic thing of a woman to spend. Yeah. And I do think it is part of spending time together that really mm-hmm. helps mold you.
Yeah. In the very beginning of our marriage, my husband and I agreed we would never use sex as like a form of manipulation or withhold it, like that it was its own separate thing. And no matter what tensions we were having it would never affect that. And I mm-hmm. feel like that's helped. Mm-hmm. If you are actively being intimate with your spouse, you're not as tense with them. I just find, well, for me, there's a lot more grace.
I agree.
And it's harder to get angry.
Yeah. And if we do start having some tensions, has it been a mm-hmm. couple of days since we've had sex? Why are we at each other's throats? Like, this isn't normal. Yep. And I have found, like, if I am in the mood, I do it right then. I would sometimes, if I know, I'd catch myself like, ooh, later, like I like you right now. And by the time later comes, a lot of times I am tired. So now it's like, no.
You have the best of intentions. Yeah. So when the mood strikes, there
just
it is.
Just do it. Don't yeah. wait till later because it will pass. Yeah. Like it doesn't stay with you all day.
Yeah.
So, and that comes with being spontaneous. If you are willing to be spontaneous, it will happen a lot more.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good, Janice. And what I think that kind of reminds me of the Bible verse about don't let the sun go down on your anger. It doesn't say that you can't go to bed in a disagreement. You know, you can say, hey, we disagree strongly on this. Let's pick it up in the morning and not bring it into the bedroom, you know, and then pick it up in the morning and be able to say, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. I always say, like, this is the best part about being married. Right. Like, this is the thing that separates it from all the other relationships.
Right. Yeah. That's, I think, a really vital thing to remember.
Yep.
This, you know, you can have best friends, but this is the thing mm-hmm. that separates your relationship with your husband to every other mm-hmm. relationship. And I think that so has good. To be remembered as, and it has a higher priority when in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. It's so sacred because it represents Christ and the church. The bride is the only relationship on earth that represents that. And so it's very sacred and holy, and the enemy attacks. Mm-hmm. And I do think a big way he attacks is in that area, in the area of sexuality mm-hmm. or in intimacy and all those areas. Because if he can break that down, then it breaks down so many other parts of the marriage and family life.
Mm-hmm. So ladies, what do you find to be the hardest thing about having a healthy sex life?
Busyness for us. I think just kids playing sports. I mean, we can have a dozen games in a weekend, you know, between the three kids. And so, and the weekends tend to be the time where you're most intimate. Yeah. But it's exhausting, you know, with the kids and the family. So for us, I think it's just being busy and the limited amount of time that we are home in a position where we could do it and be intimate together is very limited. And when it comes, we're tired, you know?
I think tiredness is probably the lack biggest thing from from my point of view. It's really funny to me because I mentioned earlier about, you know, the number of times that, you know, he was pretty keen and I was just tired. And I would say to him, listen, I'm just tired. And he would think that was always a rejection thing. Mm-hmm. But when and we made it work. You know, don't get me wrong. We made it work and he would feel very satisfied, whatever. But when we got to when our kids would have all been grown and he saw my niece and nephew with four kids, little, he came to me and said, you really were tired, weren't you? Mm. And I'm like, oh my goodness, after all this time. Like, and he said, that's hard work. And I'm like, so when I was doing it, you never saw the hard work. I really was tired.
You made it look easy.
Yeah, well, no, but now that you see my niece and nephew, it's like with their four little kids, it's like, that's hard work. And I'm like, wow, well, at least he knows now. But, you know, but he just couldn't see it.
I think that's common for a lot of husbands that travel. They don't see it and they don't get it. You know, they don't get what their wife is doing all week, even if she's working outside the home, taking care of the kids, you know, playing taxi, making the lunches, doing the laundry.
They come home and they're like, oh, my wife. Yep. And she's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think communication is important and the lack thereof would make your sex life suffer, I think it's important to talk about like your love languages and making sure that those are being met, because if your love tank is empty, running very low, it's going to make it harder for that drive to be there. So communication, not talking about and having those conversations, you know, could put the strain on your sexual
relationship.
Yes, relationship. I think figuring out other ways to feel physically connected to each other is helpful when you're, you know, feeling like you're struggling with that. Like there's more things that you can do than just sex. So, you know, like combating the tiredness, or like, I mean, I breastfed my kids for almost 2 years each, and it's just, there's a lot of things that breastfeeding does to your body that makes you not want to do that. And so we just found other ways to make each other happy and connect physically. And that helped a lot whenever it wasn't just like, okay, this very typical, you know, sex act that we were expected to do. We just found other ways to do that whenever we, one of us was, well, mostly me, was too tired to engage in that. So I think kind of
being
just
creative, really.
Yeah, being creative. That's what I was trying to say. Thank you.
It's good.
Yeah, and prioritizing, I think, because we say lack of energy, which is very true. But then at nighttime, we're tired. So then we'll sit on the couch and then we're watching our show or a movie or whatever. Instead of saying, no, tonight, we're not going to do that. Like, we're not going to watch TV tonight. We just want to, you know, have an intimate night instead. And so I know if I did that more regularly with my husband, I know that that would be, he would love that. He would say yes to that like every night. And so I think being tired is a legit reason, but I think then we just have to make it more of a priority to say, okay, we're going to turn off some of the other things, mindless entertainment, and give more. And it doesn't have to always be actual intercourse or different things like that, but it could be other intimate and fun things.
Yeah.
And I have this friend that I think it's kind of good to hold friends accountable in this area too. So I have a friend of mine in my neighborhood, and she was just sharing a little bit about her sex life. And then I was like, okay, so do you think like if an early morning sex, would that totally just surprise him and just be like amazing for him? She goes, he wakes up at, you know, 5:30 every morning. That would be incredible. I don't know if I could do that. And I was like, I agree that that would be really hard. You're tired, 5:30. I said, but you know what? I said, set your alarm, do it one day in the next couple of weeks and just see how it goes. And so I held her accountable to that. And she was like, I'm so grateful you did this. Cause you know, it's we're open, we're honest. We don't share all these details that we don't need to share with each other, but the things, and I think that's a good thing too. So she kind of was like, okay, you know, I'm being held accountable, but I'm also excited to do this. We've never done this before. And it was great. So I think those are fun things to do.
You know, Amber, you said something about holding our friends accountable. And I think that that is so important. And one thing that we haven't talked about today that just reminded me when you said that, because I had some friends, is the importance of not bringing pornography into your marriage. I think so many times people think it will help and it actually will kill. It will. And we really encouraged them to, because they had been married like 10 years and they didn't know sex without it. And it really encouraged them to pray and fast and seek the Lord together. And they ended up coming to a decision to just throw it all away. And she was really scared because she didn't know if she was attracted to her husband enough. And the Lord just really intervened once they surrendered to him. And she said, she had no idea how good sex could be. Like, and they've never, I mean, it's been years now and they've never have since. And so being able to step up and say things and talk to our friends that we, you know, as moms, to hold them accountable for stuff like that, because sometimes it's just their eyes aren't open to it or they have no idea. And if they have a friend that holds them accountable or kind of encourages them on their journey to seek the Lord and to, because really, I mean, you're inviting other people in and that's not how God intended it at all. So thanks for sharing that about the accountability.
And thanks for sharing that about the pornography too. I think that's a real killer of intimacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, for people to think that it can enhance their intimate lives, it's just a lie. Just a lie. Yeah, so thank you for bringing that in. What has been something that you've instituted in your marriage that has helped you develop a better sex life? I think we've had the date night.
Yeah.
Was really good. And I think that's very mm-hmm. important. We've also had communication, getting on the same mm-hmm. page mm-hmm. and spending time with one another and communicating. Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. incredibly important. We've also had counseling. If they feel that you're not on the same page, how good is counseling where you can sit down with a mutual person, third person, mm-hmm. and discuss things where it's not just the two of you, how helpful that's been. Is there anything else that you can think that might be something that a mum could institute in her life that might help her?
I think just spending time with yourself a little, you know, that healthy selfishness I think we talked about before, just time for you, some me time. I think that's important, self-care. Some self-care. Sex is not just for him, it's for me too, mm-hmm. but we feel like sometimes we're just given, you know what I mean? And I feel like if we did spend time and have some more self-care, we'd be more even in a mindset that we're receiving too when we're having sex.
I actually think another thing that we've touched on that we probably maybe hasn't been mentioned quite as succinctly is actually getting your mind, your headspace or your mind thinking about the possibilities of it early. I think as women, we take a while to get into the mindset unless we're very oriented to sexually. And so for me, if I was knowing by lunchtime, that's where we were heading, mm-hmm. I can prioritize through the rest of the day, both my mind as well as family-wise, et cetera, whether it be prioritizing that that is going to be something that I'm going to look forward to that night, that would really help me.
I think, too, your thoughts are so important separated from sex, how you're thinking about your husband throughout the day. If you are focusing on negatives, you're not going to want to be intimate with
him. That's true.
Where, I mean, every relationship has a fair portion of good and bad. What you choose to focus on is going to determine how you view your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be talking your husband up in your thoughts, mm-hmm. not tearing him down, you know, building him up internally, but and also externally. Mm-hmm. Because I could find a lot of ways to be annoyed or irritated with my husband if I choose to focus on those things.
Yeah,
but why would I want to? Mm-hmm. Like, I love mm-hmm. him. I want to honor him. And there are a lot of really good things that I can focus mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. So when you are just in general feeling good about your husband and your thoughts are edifying towards him, you're going to want that intimacy.
Love it.
I was just going to share along the lines of the self-care that Nina said, because I think it's important, is because when we take care of ourselves, it gives us more confidence in and outside of the bedroom with our husbands. When I was first married, had a baby, my family would make fun of me and they would say, we'll see if you do this in 10 years. But when my husband would go to work, I would make sure I had my hair and makeup done when he came home, because it gave me more confidence and it showed him that I care about him. I wouldn't want to come home to him in, you know, dirty construction clothes. That tells me he doesn't care. You know what I mean? So just taking care of ourselves for the confidence for us. And I think it shows our husbands too, that we care about them, that they're getting our best.
Great.
What a great discussion time we had.
I think we left the mum listening with some great points.
Oh, yeah. Such an important topic. And, you know, one of the things that I think was huge is how, you know, the studies show, because we talk, communication, I think, is one of the biggest things, and how studies show that long-term married partners have the best sex. And I think it's the more you get to know your partner, the more comfortable you are to talk and share your needs.
And you know each other's needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Really, absolutely. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we talked about that earlier in the teaching time, Helen. What Paul meant here, that his obligation to refrain from engaging in sexual relations with anyone other than his wife, and positively his obligation to fulfill his marital duty to provide her with sexual pleasure and satisfaction. And, you know, the idea of sex was to be mutual. That's what he was meaning here. Mm-hmm. And that the husband owed it to his wife, and that the wife had a right to claim it from the husband. This was revolutionary.
It was definitely unprecedented because women had no power. They were objects in Jesus' day.
Yeah.
And then for Paul to address this and so honestly mm-hmm. recognize that it is a mutual act and that both are important and the satisfaction of each other's needs is so important mm-hmm. is really very, very, very different to what was precedented in that world.
Yes.
No one had ever said anything like that before. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else in the ancient world, it was just women were objects.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible says that sex should be given in a marriage whenever either party desires it. And this key point here is that sex within marriage should be mutual, it should be free, It should be generous and reciprocal. Those points are just so good.
Yeah.
Let me just pray. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of sex. We thank you for the pleasure that it gives and the strong love that we feel in knowing and in being known. We pray that you would continue to grow us in our relationship with our husband. Help us to prioritize him, to concentrate on good communication, and that you would show us how to love him better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today, moms. Don't forget to subscribe now at accessmore.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're there, drop us a review. We'd love to hear from you. We're joining you now on Mondays with the moms and Thursdays with the mentors. And moms, be sure to uplift another mother this week.